Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 43 of season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Always fun having you on, especially. You know, as we're in the middle of Gracie Mansion.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens here. Who knows?
Hopefully no more tissues being left or scattered around the mansion. So.
You never know. You never know. We'll have to wait and see. So minute 43 begins with Phil giving his opinion. And ends with Al being concerned. So we ended things yesterday with the mayor, the deputy mayor, the police commissioner, the controller, and the head of the transit authority all having a powwow.
And the mayor's wife.
The mayor's wife can be a part of. Yes, I wasn't going to forget her. I was not going to forget her. And basically, they begin a debate, can you even call this a debate? It's more of a conversation. It's an up and down discussion. You know, thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, we're Siskel and Ebert when you need them.
And I mean it. It kind of feels like the decision has already been made by Tony Roberts' character, but he's kind of going through the motions of including these other people.
True. True. But again, I do like the fact that he still wants to hear their opinions because he knows he's politically savvy enough to know what their decisions will be, but he still wants them to try and verbalize it. Even though none of them are able to really verbalize it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you kind of, as he goes through the different ones, they all just kind of skirt around it. I mean, one of them even, you know, when he says, so what are you saying we should do? He said, I abstain. And it's like, what? what the heck good are you?
That's
You're
right.
Just going to exactly. Stand there and not say what you think should be done. Get out.
That's right. So, I mean, we ended things yesterday with Phil starting to say, well, we have enough there to... You know, to start World War III, but you know, I can't guarantee the safety of the hostages. So then Warren says, in other words, you're paying for the ransom. And he goes, well, we don't want another Attica, do we? Now, do you know what Attica is?
I do, and mainly this is because of other movies, because, you know, famously, there is the cry of Attica, Attica in Dog Day Afternoon.
That's right.
Al Pacino, you know, it's, I guess, famously an improvised line, but it's in reference to a prison riot in 1971.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, I don't know much more about it other than that. It's one of those things where I feel a little bit like it's one of those things that if you are in that part of the country at this time in New York, you know, this is a big deal, but maybe wasn't as much of a big deal to the rest of the country. You know, like it makes me think of when I was in college studying, you know, like broadcasting and communications, things like that. And I had a teacher that was telling us kind of about, you know, what is determined the news. And of course, this is in central Illinois, but he basically said, yeah, if it doesn't happen in New York or LA, to the networks, it's not news. And, you know, this story kind of made me think that I'm sure it was a big, big deal in 1971 in New York, but I don't know that it was felt the same way in a place like Chicago or what have you. Now, of course, I was only 5 months old at the time that happened, so I don't know. What do I know about this? But yeah, it seems to be like something that is very important in the minds of New York area people, but maybe not so much to the rest of the country.
Right. I mean, I was, let's assume, my family was living in the New York area, but I was only born 2.5 years later, so I definitely didn't know anything about what was going on. In Attica. So So there was a, so Attica is a state prison in that's located in Attica, New York, and on they had about 2,200 men that were incarcerated there, and on September 9th, 1971, almost half of them decided to riot, and they ended up taking control of the prison, and they took 42 staff members hostages, and they negotiated for 4 days, trying to get their demands met. Apparently, they were most of the things that they asked for, they were agreed to, but one of their largest demands was that they remove the warden and give and give all of the prisoners amnesty for taking over the prison. And those things didn't work, and therefore the governor of New York at the time, Nelson Rockefeller, with the approval of President Richard M. Nixon at the time, decided that they are going to send in armed officers, state and local police, and they went in and tried to stop the riot. And when all the smoke cleared, there were 39 people dead. 10 of them were correctional officers and civilian employees, and 29 of them were inmates. And afterwards, you know, when once the dust settled and they figured everything out, almost entirely every one of them was killed by law enforcement gunfire. Which means that even the 10 hostages were taken out by the police when they went in. But yeah, so it has become one of the most infamous prison riots to have ever occurred in the US. And over the years, they did get some the prison itself did have improvements, so that people were you know, the inmates had better conditions after this, but it wasn't necessarily because of the rioting that day. Some of the notable inmates of Attica afterwards, not even at the time. So we have David Berkowitz, son of Sam,
So Sam, yeah.
who was put there. H. Rap Brown, who was the leader of the Black Panthers. He was there from 71 to 76. Mark David Chapman,
The
who
John Lennon's
John
assassin,
Lennon's
right?
assassin
Yeah.
was there, yes. He's been denied parole 13 times over the years. He's been moved to a different facility now. He's no longer there. Who else do we Hey, Joe Gallo. We always talk about Joe Gallo of the Colombo crime family. He spent 9 years in Attica.
Oh, okay.
Joe Gallo. We talked about Joe Gallo all the way back in when Harry Met Sally, because they passed by the place where there was the shooting.
Oh, okay.
There was a mad bomber in the 60s that. His name was Sam Melville. He was sentenced there, and he was actually one of the prisoners that was killed in the riot. El Said Nosar, who was one of the he was part of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Okay, that's, yeah.
So he was listed, he was there. You have Joseph Mad Dog Sullivan, who was a mobster that was put there, and he's the only man to have ever escaped from the prison. Yeah, those are the ones the only thing I find really funny in this article is it says that in The Golden Girls, in one of the episodes, Dorothy claims to have served a year at Attica while arguing with a cellmate at a local jail. Probably not.
No, probably not.
Can't really see her there. Right, so they continue with their debate. So, and then Warren goes, "Fell, your vote is," he goes, "I abstain," which
What a cop
is an
out.
interesting cop out. Exactly. Now, the word abstain has two very different meanings. Are you I'm assuming you're familiar with both, but can you think of either of them or both of them?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I know both. I mean, the one I think of is like say what basically say I'm not going to cast a vote on this issue or whatever.
Which is
That's the
refraining from
definition I think
action,
of.
the refraining from action. For instance, you will abstain from a vote in an election, or that type of thing. There's also a voluntary self-restraint, meaning that I will abstain from something. I will abstain from eating or drinking alcohol. I will abstain from certain foods, things like that. So it's restraining oneself from one's own passions or appetites. And things like that. So that's another thing. And then Warren's response to that is, "Oh." And then he turns to one of the other guys and goes, "Barney." So Barney is the head of the transit authority, played by Thomas Barber. Barbour. I don't even know how you even pronounce that. Have you ever heard of that actor before?
I don't think I have. I was just about to look and see if I knew anything about him here.
Okay, so he was born in 1921, passed away in 2005, at the age of 84. He has 26 credits on IMDb, including both the original Arthur movies with what's his name?
Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore. Thank you.
Yes.
Both Arthur movies with
The
Dudley Moore.
yes, the iconic Arthur II on the rocks. Yes, what a great thing to have on your resume there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, it's a paycheck. Isn't that the way a lot of people look at it?
yeah. Well, actually here, oh, look at here on his IMDb, he apparently appeared on an episode of Sesame Street
As a
as
well-dressed
well-dressed man.
as opposed to everyone else on Sesame Street who were not well-dressed.
Right. Well, I mean, half the characters on Sesame Street don't even wear clothes. I mean, Cookie Monster, Elmo, they don't wear clothes. They can't be
Okay.
well dressed.
All right. I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
Yeah,
Keep your hands above the table when playing with puppets.
exactly.
he was also in the movie Suspect. Did you ever see that with Cher and Dennis Quaid?
I have not seen that one though. That is one of the many films that I have a poster for that I picked up at a video store somewhere here in my basement, but I'd never actually seen the movie. So,
Ooh, is that a forgotten film?
I think it might be. I'd have to look and see how many people have logged watching that on Letterboxd. That's kind of one of
If you think
my,
so, then let me know. I'd love to talk about that movie.
ooh, maybe a future episode there. Okay,
Maybe,
all right.
maybe. And I mean, Thomas Barber has a iconic scene about 2 minutes into the movie where he commits suicide.
Oh, okay.
spoiler alert, but whatever.
Spoiler.
It's 2 minutes into the movie. It can't really be much of a spoiler from that perspective. So yeah, so he says, "Barney," and he goes, "The safety of the passengers is the only concern of the transit authority." He goes, "Your vote?" He goes, "Pay the $2." And then the mayor goes, "$2, $2. If it was $2, I'd pay
Like
$2,
better off
Barney."
dead. $2.
That's right. "Where's my $2?" Very good. "It's a million. It's a one with six zeros. Now tell me, is it coming out of your pocket?"
Well, I mean, this is one of the weird aspects of this movie watching it today. And I get it, I mean, times change. What's considered a lot of money? I mean, and don't get me wrong, if someone plopped $1 million in my lap right now, I'd consider that a lot of money. But, we talk about these films and today it would be much, much more than $1 million. It makes me think about like just recently I watched the original version of Brewster's Millions.
Okay.
Okay. Which is
What
from like
regional? You know how many versions there are of Brewster's Millions?
Well, I'm talking about the one from 1945,
Okay,
okay?
right.
And
That, I'm assuming
so
I assumed that that's the one you were talking about, but if you must know, okay, I actually looked this up, and Brewster's Millions, there are 12 remakes.
Oh, okay. Well, this version, the and it's funny because somebody at work was actually asking me this because I have a write-on board in my cubicle that I don't need for anything, work related. So I just always put there recently watched movies, and I'll list some movies that I've watched. And one of the people I worked with, he said Brewster's Millions, and he saw 1945. He's like 1945. I was like, yeah, no, it's not the Richard Pryor one's
He's
from
like, Richard
85.
Pryor was
He's like,
how old in 1945?
yeah. And he says, so how much money was it in that one? And I was like, well, in this one, it's spend $1 million to earn $8 million. And I don't remember what it is in the prior one, but it's much more than that, So, but anyway, just the idea that $1 million is, considered this exorbitant amount. Today, if we had this, it'd probably be, $50 million or much more than that.
Right.
So it's funny to see these government officials, in the city of New York, which today probably squanders $1 million every 20 minutes,
Exactly.
making a big deal about $1 million.
Well, again, I've brought this up many times. It's the whole Austin Powers thing.
Yeah.
So then he turns to the third guy in the room, and he goes, "Come on, Sid, will ya?" Now, Sid is the controller, and he's played by an actor named Marvin Silbersher, who was born in 1924 and passed away at the age of 91 in 2015. He has 6 credits as a director and 12 credits as an actor. So
Oh,
not a
okay.
very formidable film career. I'm assuming he must have been, much busier elsewhere.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he was an episode of I, Dream a Genie.
Hey, can't complain about that.
That's right. And then he responds says, "Save the poor mouth for later. How do you vote?" He goes, "I'm not through discussing it yet." "Yes, you are. Now vote. My concern is with the taxpayers. I mean, somebody's auditing. You know what I always say, millions for defense, but not 1 cent for tribute. Isn't that what I always say?" "So that's a no." He goes, and Warren turns to the mayor and goes, "All right, Al, you've heard from the three wise men. Now what do you say?" "What are they gonna say, Warren?" "They who?" "Who?" "Everybody. The press. The man on the street." Again, I like this debate. They're showing a sad sack mayor who is still concerned about what the voters are going to think, which makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way they always are. Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Well, I find I think it's funny the reference to the three wise men
Yes.
there, which I mean, I get it. It's all just in the title, but the biblical three wise men were not necessarily, it's not like they were known for great wisdom or something like that.
No.
It's just we just have three guys and they're supposed to be wise. Though they're not all that wise. They're all just skirting around the issue and trying to not actually commit to anything.
That's right. No, but I like the fact that here we have the guy in charge of the police, the guy in charge of the transit authority, and the guy just in charge of the money. That's more or less what it comes down to.
Right,
And none of
right.
them are none of them want to make the decision. But Warren has basically made the decision for them, I guess you can say.
Yeah, I mean, well, and clearly, he's got his eyes set on being the mayor after the current mayor is voted out at some point. They'll vote this guy out, and then he'll come around the next election cycle and try to be the next mayor,
And that's the way that this minute ends, with a very concerned mayor. So did you have anything else you want to add?
One thing that jumped out at me in this particular minute is what's with the jewelry that Doris Roberts is wearing? It's like a, she's got this necklace on. It's like a giant hand, I think. Is that what it is? Kind of looks like a giant hand.
Okay, see the necklace, but her hand is. Oh, wow, you're right.
It's almost, you could almost look at it as being like a baseball glove or something like that. I don't know. It's, it just struck me as strange. It's very big and gaudy.
Because I think I know what that is. Yes, I know what it is.
Uh-oh. Okay. It's probably something significant and I have no idea what it is. I'm going to embarrass myself here.
No, you probably wouldn't be aware of it. So it, from what I can tell, it's known as a hamsa, okay, which is a an amulet that I mean it's a five-fingered hand. It's also known as the hand of Fatima, and it is a
Okay.
palm-shaped amulet popular throughout northeast no, North Africa and the Middle East, and is commonly used as jewelry and wall hangings.
All
And
right.
it's basically to ward off the evil eye type of thing. I see it very often here in Israel. But I know people who have it as, pendants and stuff like that. So, once you said what it was, once you pointed out that I should look for it, that's the way it seems to me of what it could be.
Well, I believe you. Makes sense to me.
So again, it's to protect against the evil eye type of thing. I don't think I don't know if it works or not. I
Maybe she
couldn't tell
knows that Tony Roberts gives her the evil eye all the time, so she came prepared.
you. Maybe. So there's the Western phrase "knock on wood" or "touch wood." So a common phrase in the Middle East, and I've heard this many times, is "khamsa khamsa khamsa foo foo foo," which basically means to spitting out to ward off bad luck.
Okay.
And you can even get it in Unicode, and as an emoji.
All
Interesting.
right.
There you go. You see,
In case you're texting somebody that gives you the evil eye all the time.
that's right. Doesn't that happen to you?
If it does, I'm blissfully unaware, I guess.
Okay. Blissfully unaware is also good. All
Yeah.
right. So, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about in this minute?
No, I think we got it.
Right. So, every Wednesday we have a segment called Hijack Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five movies featuring hijacks. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, so number five, I went with United 93. Always a hard movie to put on a list like this because I think, you know, it's a, such a good movie, but it's also a hard watch. Anyway, number four, Air Force One. Number three, Con Air.
Oh,
Number
they will
two,
be
the.
happy that that's so high up there.
Two, The Taking of Pelham 123. And number one, I went with Speed.
That is a great list. You didn't go off the beaten path with any of them though this time.
No, yeah, pretty mainstream on those.
But that's fine. That's perfectly okay. I'm already seeing where the points are going this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's going to be that difficult for Jay to guess. No, but we'll wait and see. He's still got another 61 episodes, to try and figure that out on.
I was a little fearful of if, you know, does speed count as hijacking? In my brain it does, but you know, you can make the case because the, you know, the hijacker is not on the hijacked item, you know,
Right.
if that matters or not. I don't know. So,
That's
but I
fine.
thought, yeah.
Okay. All right. And now we will go to the daily game of Name That Remake, where I will spin the wheel and you will randomly get a movie that's been remade and have to try and figure out what movie it is based on the little clue that I will give you.
All right. I'm feeling more confident after last time. We'll see.
Okay, I'm glad that you are. Okay, the original movie came out in 1974, once again, and the remake is in 2018. Okay, and the brief synopsis that I'm going to give you is, after his family is attacked by a gang, a man takes matters into his own hands.
After his family is attacked by a gang. I don't think this is right, but the only thing that's coming into my mind right now is Walking Tall.
No,
so that's what I'm going to say.
Walking Tall was actually it was the very first one we did this season, and with Jay, and he's never heard
and
of
I'm thinking,
or he didn't
was know. Walking Tall. And I want to say the original was maybe 75. Am I right?
73.
Okay, I went the wrong direction, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I didn't think the Rock remake was as recent as 2018, but that was all
that was
jumping into my head.
That was 2004.
Yeah.
All right. Any other guesses?
No, I'm drawing blank right now.
Okay, so the remake was with Bruce Willis. Does that help at all?
The remake was with Death Wish.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have not seen the new Death Wish.
Neither have I. I've never seen the Bruce Willis one. I actually have very little desire to see it.
I mean, there's something just, I don't know. I don't know that I want to see Elizabeth Shue be Bruce Willis's wife. I mean, come on, you know. But anyway, that's the whole younger woman, older guy. That's because I mean, it's no secret I had a huge crush on Elizabeth Shue in my youth, and it's like when you see somebody that is a generation on, you know, it's like I recently watched Draft Day, which I really liked. Draft Day,
I love that movie. It's such a fun movie.
Yeah, we talked about that on my podcast, I think. But I struggle with Jennifer Garner, who is my age, if not younger.
Jennifer Garner, she's
in a relationship with Kevin Costner in that movie, correct. Who's old enough to be her father or worse, you know. So,
yes. Correct.
No, it's kind of the same thing with Elizabeth Shue and Bruce Willis.
I understand.
So, yeah.
I understand. Oh, well, what can you do? We're not casting directors.
I know. And it's not like they haven't been doing this since movies were made. You always have, you know, men that are way older than their leading ladies.
Yeah.
So that's nothing new, but yeah.
Sure. All right. Excellent. So, Todd, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
Of course, the podcast is The Forgotten Filmcast. Find that wherever you find your podcasts. The blog is at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. We're on all the socials at Forgotten Films. Film spelled with a Z, and follow me on Letterboxd as well.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So, until tomorrow,
Gazoon tight!